This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Number 14.
Almost time to leave February.
We got some things to talk about.
Always. Hip hop grew up. Plenty to do. How's your family?
Family's good. It's been the last time we talked was before the Grammys.
Right.
But the family's been good. How's your family been?
Everybody's healthy. Mm-hmm. And everybody's happy.
Okay.
It's just a learning experience, you know. Manhood. We grew up.
Yeah, man. So, since we haven't talked about the Grammys, I know that Childish Gambino won Best Song. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, This Is America.
Yes.
It's a win. It's interesting to me that that song, I think the video is really the hit, the Grammy.
Because that's when the song came out, was when the, well, right?
I mean,
I don't even remember hearing the song by itself. I only just seen the video with it.
Right. How often do you play that song by itself without looking at it?
Yeah.
I don't.
Never.
Right. So that's pretty amazing to me. That's very new age, new technology to where a song is, the video is actually the vibe and not the song by itself.
Correct.
It's completely flipped. Blended learning.
I know. Choreography is insane. And I just thought that, you know, even though there's other crazy things happening, like Cardi B saying all this crazy stuff, right? And some people boycotting. But the cool thing about that video is just the choreography. You know what I mean? And it reminds me of another rapper that we've been talking about lately who's from this region. Toby from the SWAT.
Toby from the SWAT?
Mm-hmm.
Is recording,
yes.
Just putting
many songs together.
Oh man,
so many.
He's potent.
One a week, 52 a year.
Yeah, it seems like every Sunday, ever since it was the Get Twisted Sundays, that now he's just putting out this high level product every single week.
Schedule.
He's got a future.
Consistency. And it's not just like, you know, classic rap video or him just is doing. It's very, very creative. It's choreographed. Mm-hmm. There's costumes. There's a whole cast, makeup, well produced. And it's all through Instagram.
Yeah, great production.
Yeah, it's like. And then on the latest one, it's talking about, I guess there's some radio interview he had. With the radio station, and he was talking about that he wanted to do this for 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. And do this exact thing, drop a song a week for 10 years and see how far his audience grows. And I think that's amazing. And very, very, very grassroots. And like kind of, it feels like a mission. And it's kind of like these products nowadays, they always have like this, you know, the story of this mission that kind of ties their product in. Mm-hmm. This is kind of what it feels like. You know,
I see him being like an Akon brand, you know?
Yes.
And bigger. That's crazy because he's independent. But I see it. I could see him taking the world by storm, like on a Bob Marley level. If he just takes his time, because his time is impeccable. Every week, man, smashing. That's incredible.
And it's like you become a fan pretty instantly as soon as you start watching the videos, you know. Mm-hmm. I gotta admit, like, you guys were the first one to turn me on to him, even though I heard his name in the game for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an amazing product, and I just see that thing just manifesting to, you know, I think that tour is already around the corner. He had a couple sold-out cities already.
Mm-hmm.
So, shout out to Toby.
and people who do choreographed videos.
Right, but you made a comparison earlier, man.
Oh, yeah. To what Toby's got going on?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Big comparison.
So tell them what you were talking about, man.
So
we're recording now.
Yeah. So to me, the comparison is like Toby just reminds me of a modern version of just like Tribe Called Quest. Like whatever Kendrick Lamar is to the West Coast, he is like, you know, whatever tribe. And you brought up Andre 3000, which is even a greater comparison. But just kind of the rap style and the image and kind of what he's about. Real Afrocentric, in my opinion.
He's African.
And, yeah, and then that just, you know, not being ashamed and being proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
Embracing that culture as opposed to just Western European gold and shining and Italian leather.
Yeah, but he does also have a, you know, Christian faith component as well at the exact same time. Like a lot of big, you know, artists, Bob Marley, people like that. So,
yes. So he's like, you, so you
a lot of different things at once.
That if he does this for 10 years and the audience grows that big, that he could have a Marley presence.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Wyclef.
Yeah.
You know, just.
Someone big like that.
Take the world by storm. I see that, man. So, yeah, you said he was like a Kendrick of the West Coast.
You can kill it. Of the South Coast.
But Kendrick's the only, you know, he's only the best rapper in the world.
Yes.
Not the biggest rap star, but the best rapper in the world.
You said he clearly lately. Holds that title.
Lately. Mm-hmm. You know. One of many, but you know what I mean. Just rapping. Like,
oh, okay. Not
making songs and making hits, but just, I want to hear what he's spitting. He's nice like that. Other people are big, but not nice. Travis Scott.
What do you think?
Not a good rapper.
Songs are amazing.
Oh, of course.
Hits.
He's got amazing songs. But he's not a good rapper.
Compared to like a Kendrick, you're saying?
Not at all. Yeah, he's not a good rapper like that.
I think it's like a different kind of rap. It's not like it's like a different kind. He just says things. Like Rick Ross isn't like. He just says things. I don't know.
Rick Ross is a good rapper.
Like two, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Travis Scott's not a good rapper. Just at rapping. He's good at what he does. It's like everything's a hook, basically. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Is Young Thug a good rapper?
Yeah, in general.
Lil Baby a good rapper?
From what I've heard, yeah. Yeah. I'd say so. I'm just more interested in the way they spit.
NBA YoungBoy raps.
Oh yes, he raps.
Kevin Gates definitely raps.
Kevin Gates is killing it.
Boosie, Webby,
raps. Always. Yes.
Just go down the list of the Louisiana.
Good rapping. I don't listen to Webby that much. I don't listen to Boosie that much, but Boosie's amazing.
NBA YoungBoy, Kevin Gates.
They can rap. Shoot, Webby can rap. They rap. Shoot, most Louisiana dudes can rap.
Wayne, of course.
Of course. Can rap a million ways. He's where all these wham-wham-whams came from. I don't mean that, like, towards Lil Baby. I just mean, like, you know, the sound. The way people rap, they sound kind of worn out. Whenever Lil Wayne's, you know, started coming on Alien, that blew up the world.
The wah-wah-wah stuff.
Yeah, you know
there was
what I
a
mean.
Couple, even like way back with Mystical.
Yeah, not just wah-wah-wah. Right. But Louisiana,
the,
man.
But yeah. The wah-wah, like, Silk the Shocker.
Silk the Shocker? He was a terrible rapper. Terrible. He's way worse than Travis Scott.
But like.
And rapping.
If Silk the Shocker came out right now, though, he'd be like big, right?
Maybe. I mean, it's hard to tell.
Off-key, like, you know what I'm saying?
Blueface.
He's kind of screaming at the, like...
Blueface? He's a terrible rapper. Rapper. Yeah. Much success
to him. But they sell a good product.
I mean, I don't think so. Some of them do. but not that one. So
Tatiana is not.
No, that song's terrible.
Tatiana.
What do you think of that song?
I think it's effective for getting people to dance for.
Yeah, and yeah, I believe that. I believe that.
As far as I'll comment.
But it's like a movie scene. Like, what? You know, to have people dance to that, it's almost like if that was in a movie, it would be funny.
But it's just like, okay, here, and this is a good segue for who I want to talk about next. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, back that ass up, right?
Ooh. That's a classic.
Exactly.
That's nothing like that.
So Tatiana is not.
It's nothing like that.
But
it's nothing like that.
It evokes.
Juvenile is a ridiculous rapper. Ridiculous. Juvie. Ridiculous rapper. There's no comparison between Blueface and Juvenile. None. Juvenile is a Hall of Fame Louisiana rapper, like premier Louisiana rapper. There's no comparison between Tatiana.
Definitely top five Louisiana.
Top three. Yeah, three.
Top five for sure. Top five
for sure. For sure.
The Law New Cats are pretty amazing. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's
you start thinking about everyone. Like from Gang to everyone who's on No Limit.
But we cannot compare Blueface, Tatiana to Juvenile. Like the... That's not even
400 Degrees Juvenile too. That was like the best.
I mean, that's
they're all good albums, but
that's as classic as any Lil Wayne album ever.
Probably the first time I heard Lil Wayne was on that song. And another good rapper who made that beat, Manny Fresh, is a good rapper, in my opinion.
He's effective. He's a producer rapper, producer type rapper. Make songs.
Not the best lyricist. Very effective.
Yep. Yep. Very effective.
If you can remember the lines, it's effective.
From my head down to my shoes. Skirt on 22. Remember that one? Check my baby mama. Of course they fly.
Gated her boots, yeah.
Yeah. Back that thing up. He's on that. So I remember when he was just a DJ.
Yeah. Earlier I sent Babu this link that I got, I think from DJ City, that talks about Manny Fresh and how he produced that song. And it was about seven or eight minutes. And it talked about how he had strings and he wanted to sound all like a great production. And then he just had like these Louisiana sounds that are just always in a lot of bounce and jig songs,
mm-hmm.
You know, and how you manipulated that. But the part that that was real hip hop grew up ish was that his dad was a DJ.
Mm.
And the Juvenile used to rap at his dad's events, and that's how he heard of them and they started working together.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
At Manny Fresh's dad's events?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so Manny Fresh's like early gifts, he said in this documentary, quick little video, you should check it out. It's at djcity.com. But he'd get a turntable as a gift, he'd get a mixer as a gift, and he just get records, and that was his whole deal, was being a DJ and is taught by his dad.
Mm. So
he was probably one of the first generation, you know, people doing hip hop
right
from down here, started making beats, started, you know, engaging with the community, making music. and then how he produced Back That Ass Up, and he said that that synth line that goes
he said he got it from somebody else,
from a UGK song.
Yeah, UGK. I saw that part.
It was just cool, really cool. But you said you used to go visit your cousins in Baton Rouge in the summertime.
I did, man, for a lot of years growing up.
In the 90s, and you would see Manny Fresh DJing for who?
Gregory D.
Okay.
Yeah, you can Google it, Gregory D and Manny Fresh. He was a DJ.
They're both DJs?
Gregory D was the rapper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Manny Fresh was just, you know, a DJ, like cutting DJ, like, you know, back in the DJ Aladdin. I don't even know if it was the 90s. Yeah, I guess it might have been the 80s. So, but actually, I'll look it up, man. Gregory D and Manny Fresh. I'm sure.
I guess, but yeah. Jump Time.
I saw them at the club. What year was that?
Where you from? I remember those records.
Mm-hmm.
This is like Jubilee.
Yeah, back in that day.
This is like all the bunny, everything Louisiana comes from, all this.
It's probably like 89, ain't it? Shh. What year is that? Gregory D and Manny Fresh. So he, you know, it was like Run DMC era. Rock the, you know, cutting.
Wow.
And I remember seeing it in a, you know, wild club. Wild to me.
Man. You see Manny Fresh a lot in H-Town. I think he lives there now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's always in studios, always doing stuff, selling beats, see him in the club, DJing, still. So always good to see good old Manny Fresh.
He made a lot of classics.
Still growing up. Hip hop grew up.
So he was the son of a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, that got me thinking. It's always good to educate the youth and get them ready, get the next generation ready,
mm-hmm.
for the next generation of creative people or people working. So summer camps and after school programs are where it's at. I have this written in our notes, so we're going to talk about this.
Mm.
So explain you, Babu, the guy with the master's degree in education. Why are these effective? Are they more effective than regular school? Because I see these, a lot of people participate in after school programs, at least ones that have kind of like an academic aim, like to ensure that they stay in college or go to college. What are your thoughts on these?
Hmm. Ask me that again.
After school programs and like summer camps.
Yes, after school.
To like, but
and out of school.
Yeah, but just to teach trades, to teach people things like how to DJ, to how to record, how to make music, or how to be the next creative person, photography.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the after school programs that you and I talked about doing.
Right.
Are they effective in, you know, for students to be like academically engaged, to be more socially engaged? What do you know about these?
Well, I know that creativity is a great, you know, site for engagement. And so bringing students in to where they can be expressive and learn technical skills, you know, involving media is, I think it's smart. I think it's something that can really come from their identity work and, you know, allow them to develop, you know, strategies for thinking and organizing their thinking, you know, just different ways to organize it. That's really all it is. Just language and ways to think. And so,
and products to create, right?
Mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
Same thing.
Hmm.
Teaching them how to make these songs, or how to make videos, or how to make photographs, or how to process them and develop them, or how to help nonprofits, how to help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just get kind of get people turned on to doing things.
Right. Well, there's a movement of people who are, you know, positioning it as hip hop therapy,
mm-hmm.
and really focusing on, you know, wellness of young people and just people in general, and coming up with ways to actually use hip hop as text and engage people in academics that way as well. So there's a lot of different people who are working the arts in certain high schools for the arts, things like that.
Mm. All right. What else you got, man?
What you been listening to?
I've been listening to, you know, it's probably things that the new Beat King is pretty awesome. And he's got a song with Zero that's pretty cool, and Project Pat's on there too. DJ Chose, who produces a lot of NBA Young Boys on there. So that's kind of my guilty pleasure because I'm a club DJ still. Yo Gotti a little bit.
Club DJ. Speaking of, you know, we talked about Manny Fresh being the son of a DJ. Tell me about the other son of a DJ, like. So influential, legendary DJ. The son of a legendary DJ.
Son of a legendary DJ. And before I talk about that, Killer Kaleon, the 30 Days, 30 Deaths is also a good mixtape. Really good.
I need to check that out.
My boy. Our boy Mizzle. Jam Master J's son. Paid me a visit. Well, actually, he was Lil Pump's DJ. And, yeah, TJ Mizzle, or Mizzle. Probably Mizzle. Jam Master J's son, who was Lil Pump's DJ, stopped by and hung out at the club that I'm at, Spire, and hung out for some after hours time and watched me kill it. It was a great, great time. He's good friends with my boy Seb, who works there as well. And it was just really cool connecting. It's like, he's like, man, you're killing it. It's like, dude, your dad's a legend. You're a legend. He's like, cool, thanks you. And so it was really cool connecting with them. But that's some hip hop grew up things, you know, because that's not.
So what did you educate? How'd you educate him? How'd you educate him? He's a young creative.
I put a bunch of regional hits, like songs. You know, I was DJing at Houston at 3:30 in the morning, so I just played a bunch of DJ Screw and some of Zero and some Lil Kiki mixed in with newer Travis Scott stuff. So it was just really cool how I let it in. And, you know, I just got ratchet with it. So it was just, you know, I just know he's from L.A., Queens, Vegas. So it was just cool getting a little taste of
say Travis Scott.
The double styrofoam cup. You know what I mean?
It was cool educating. Yeah. That's
always. I'm older than most DJs, especially in the club. So it's just cool being able to go back those deep crates and come back with it and be like, you gotta know that this came from this. You know? The other day I had, well, I think right when Rake It Up come out. Right, it's like you hear boom, 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 boom. You're like, what's that from? I remember Buck Rogers was here in the studio, and we're like, he's like, oh, it's Freaky Tales. Oh yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So it's always like an older DJ who we go back and be like, oh yeah, that is that. That's that.
Right.
A bunch of things, you know. Plain Jane is Slava Manab. So pretty much all the new rap it sounds like Slava Manab.
A lot of Slava Manab.
36 Mafia Slava Manab. If you heard that, it's like, oh my gosh, it's ASAP Ferg. It's a lot of songs.
ASAP Ferg. I like his voice.
Yes. Sound, right?
He's got a big voice, big presence on the mic. Kind of Pharoah Munch type of, the way his voice cuts through.
Yeah. It's definitely its own flavor for sure.
Cuts through real sharp.
Man, what you been listening to?
I don't know what
besides
I've been listening
Toby from the SWAT.
Yeah, besides Toby from the SWAT. What if I've been watching the Sam Cooke movie? Just getting
it's on
music.
Netflix, right?
It's on Netflix.
Man, I know what I'm watching tomorrow. That's a good one. That's a good one. How many? Did you are you pretty close to get it done, or?
I think I'm like 20 minutes into it.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, it's just showing his story so far. His background. So Sam Cooke. It talked about how his involvement in political issues. might have been involved or might be responsible for his death.
Wow, did not know that.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those stories where it was unsolved.
I didn't know his death had any kind of mystery or conspiracy towards it.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. My mind's kind of blowing right now. That's awesome.
Right. So, of course, there's just a lot of other stories, you know, about how he grew up and how he made his decisions about the music that he would make and, you know, his personal life and all of that. And just interesting observations. A lot of primary sources.
Good. I need to check that out.
Word.
Yo Gotti is in the playlist.
Yeah.
21 Savage. And then Gary Clark Jr.'s new record.
Yeah, my boy Mech Step just dropped an album called Resistir. We did a release party at Antone's last night.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it was fun. And, you know, he's also, you know, Marco Cervantes. So he's a director of Mexican American Studies at UT San Antonio.
Mm.
And his music, you know, Adrian produces it. So it's a new album from Electric Recorder Studios with Adrian Quesada. And yeah, man, he's got some great music on there. Of course, there's a couple Third Root songs, you know, Easy Jumps on. And it's like music that you could use to teach history. And that goes back to our point, you know, of engaging and using those resources and even using music you can still create to do that.
I love that.
It's matured, man.
It grew up.
It's a whole new frame.
Speaking of grew up, Gary Clark turned me on to that new Jon Batiste record.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it was out last year.
Mm-hmm.
You been listening to that?
I haven't. I need to listen to that new Gary. Didn't it drop today?
Yes.
Oh, God. I got to check that out.
So, yeah. I just
sound like he's ready.
The Jon Batiste is dope. Especially his version of What a Wonderful World, but it just sounds like real jazz, piano-y, dope stuff. And then, yeah, Gary. This Land is the name of the record. It just dropped today. 17 songs.
Yeah, I got to check that out.
And, yeah.
My boy, Gary Clark Jr., man. He's a loyal dude. He's good.
To Warner Brothers. 1 hour and 12 minutes. This Land, pick it up. Support your Austin artist. Longtime Continental Club OG. Also a son of a great musician.
Mm. Gary Clark Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
Who was that?
I thought his dad played, no?
No.
Oh. Mm-mm. I guess maybe the junior part always just made me think.
Right. Nah, he kind of came out of nowhere the way he told me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I remember interviewing him. Remember when we did Emmy Television?
Yes.
He came in and played a couple songs. We talked a little bit. He was super young then.
Emmy Television had the offices on South Congress.
In South Congress by Fulmore Middle.
Mm-hmm.
Which has changed names. I work for Austin. I should know the name, but I don't remember what it's changed to now.
Oh, wow. How do you know it changed?
Post Fulmore Middle. It's one of the Confederate names getting removed.
I did not know Fulmore was a Confederate schools. Name. Interesting.
I mean, it's Austin, man.
Austin grew up. Changing. Hey, here's a funny story I heard about Confederate things. And it just came on, like, on, I think, CNN or something.
Hmm.
But apparently, someone defaced a General Lee statue in the South.
Hmm.
They defaced it, you know. But the problem was, it wasn't Robert E. Lee that they defaced.
Hmm.
It was an airman. And I'm trying to find the story. But I thought it was pretty funny because I don't think they read what they didn't read, obviously, which Lee it was. So I'm trying to figure out the shortest way to type this in, right?
And I typed in Lee statue, wrong one. And sure enough, it popped up. Vandals in North Carolina set fire to General Lee statue, but it's not the Confederate one. So this is coming from CNN. Statue stands outside Major General Williams C. Lee Airborne Museum. So obviously, Confederacy was during the Civil War. So if you're airmen, that think that came around much later than that. So the town of Dunn, which is 40 miles south of the Capitol Rally, was the birthplace of World War II hero William C. Lee, and the museum sits in the home the general and his wife owned. Lee, commanding officer of the legendary 101st Airborne Division, died in 1948.
Mm.
This is not a Civil War museum, and this is not Robert E. Lee. This is the guy from the Army, United States Army Airborne. So they did deface it. They say they spray painted it, and I just think that before you deface something, you should probably look at some primary sources. Figure out what you're doing. But I thought that was funny.
Robert E. Lee. Yeah, our local school changed names from Robert E. Lee to another name, just like Fillmore. Oh, it changed to Russell Lee, who's like a painter. So it's still cool. Called Lee Elementary.
That's right. Our boy Ross went to Robert E. Lee, and so they think they changed the name.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. At least they get to keep the Lee.
Right.
Bruce Lee Elementary would have been pretty cool, too, in my opinion.
Right.
That would have been some hip-hop grew up. All right. Well, this was good talking to you guys. We'll hit you up next week with number 15 in our hip-hop grew up. You guys have a good one.
Peace.
Peace.